almost heaven. West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home. Teardrop in my eye, country road.
Welcome to the Situation Report for Friday, November 8th. And wow, what an interesting week. I spent some time on the phone yesterday. A shout out to Tom Malongo for taking my call yesterday. I was troubled all day long, yesterday and today. And actually, when I woke up yesterday, I felt like I don't have a rudder in the water. There's something seriously wrong. It is way too quiet. That happened way too easy, and it was way too easy of a capitulation by the regime. And I was literally perplexed all day. I finally just reached out to Tom and said, hey, you got a few minutes? I want to throw something at you. And I threw it at him. I just was like, dude, this is not how this works. When you do influencing operations, you continue the influencing ops through whatever event or whatever decision point you want people to make, and then you adjust the messaging for the follow-on. Everything abruptly stopped on Wednesday morning, like to the tune of all the talking points, even of MSDNC, drastically different than the rhetoric up to the election. I'm telling you, that's not how the game's played. That's not how and it's not shock. It's not disbelief. It's not conjecture. That's not how the game's played. That's not how influencing operates. Because let's take the climate conversation. This whole climate stuff, if you go way back to 2001, 2000, this climate stuff has been in the public consciousness for 20 plus years. And it's been slowly ramping up over time, adding more and more messages, more and more detail to get the population to believe in the narrative. And the narrative is, if we don't stop our destructive practices related to the planet and find the balance with the planet, we will destroy our ecosystem. That's been the narrative all along. It started, I'm going to say, in the 70s with the commercials about litter and the crying Indian and the whole, don't throw trash out the window, take care of your environment. It's been going on for a long time. But it didn't stop. They built the narrative over a very, very long time, 30 plus, 40 plus years. And now all of a sudden, from 2016 until now, Trump was, he's a Nazi, he's a fascist, he's a misogynist, he's a racist, he's a bigot. I mean, they've called him every name in the book. And then all of a sudden, on Wednesday morning, full stop. That is not how the game's played. They said that's not how they played it in 2016. In 2016, it went from Trump grabbed somebody's hooch to Russiagate overnight. And it was built on and on and on and on throughout the 2016 campaign to reach that point. Then we went right into Russiagate, then we right into the second impeachment, et cetera, et cetera. So the whole abrupt stop is what gives me pause. The other thing that gives me pause is the rhetoric that's occurring now. Because the rhetoric that's occurring now is disjointed, it's not coherent, and there's rhetoric from the right too, which is very, very interesting. And I'll get into that in a second. But all day yesterday, I felt like there's something else, there's something bigger going on here. This is not how this should go. Not from a messaging standpoint, not from a rhetoric standpoint, not from a talking point standpoint. I mean, when you build basically a marketing campaign, you build it to last a long time. And this whole thing was like, wow, so abrupt. The other red flag for me was that Trump won in states that have done nothing to fix any of the voter fraud. Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada. And they're doing exactly what I said they were going to do on the down ballot. They are stealing the down ballot. They're doing it right now in Arizona. Kerry Lake and Gallego have more votes than Harris did. That is, and I'll leave the statistics to the good Captain Keschel, because he's probably going to have the best analysis of this. But the Senate race shows me graphically that the voter system is tainted, which is why the whole Trump win is suspect, because they had the mechanism to cheat, and they're doing it right now with Gallego to put him in office and install him in Kristen Sinema's seat. And yet we're supposed to believe that both of them got more votes than Harris. Yeah, there's no fraud. And that, if I see one more briefing by Bill Gates, that smug, short little piece of shit, and the whole Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, I'm going to throw up. And then there's Stephen Richer, who deleted his Twitter account because the blowback he was getting. Everybody sees you. Everybody. Everybody sees that you're a lying, cheating, bought-out bag of shit. Everybody sees it. Everybody sees that you're a fucking libtard, and you ran yourself as an independent or Republican, but really you're a lying sack of shit. Everybody sees that. And they still go on TV in these really condescending tones and try and tell the public that they're not cheating. Yeah, you're fucking cheating. You spent 4 years building the apparatus to institutionalize the cheat. We all see that. We all knew you were going to do this. The part that sticks in my craw is that Trump somehow, miraculously, pulled off enough votes to blow away Harris, who supposedly had 61 million votes. We all know that's bullshit. But here you go. And I'm not saying Trump struck a deal. I'm not ready to make that hypothesis yet. But it sure looks that way. Because it's a blowout for the president. They call it on the same day. But yet there's 13 fucking Senate races that still aren't counted. Still fucking licking stamps in Arizona. How the fuck can that happen? How is it that you can count all the votes and call it for the presidency, but you can't call it for a Senate seat? Really? And we're supposed to believe it's the fairest and freest election ever? Get the fuck out of here. These are the red flags that stick in my craw. And that's not even the worst part. The worst part is I'm hearing Charlie Kirk and Glenn Beck talking about J.D. Vance as the president of the Senate. Okay. And then I'm hearing that Trump wants to turn DOJ into his personal police force. Hey, there's no red flags in that. And then I'm hearing names like Mike Pompeo, massive shitbag. Marco Rubio, massive shitbag. The rule of the tell is going to be who he puts on his cabinet and who he puts in Treasury. That's going to be the tell. And I'm not ready to say that there was a deal that was made. I'd like to believe in the fairy tale that enough Americans showed up. And what's interesting is when I rewatched some of the show I did with Sean Newman, and then I watched Tucker Carlson's show on election night, and then I watched some of Alex Jones. Everybody said the same thing. We all said the same thing. Cautiously optimistic, too early to call. And we all said it for the same reason. We all watched 2020. So it turned out the way it turned out. We are where we are. The point I'm trying to make is don't take anything for granted, because the enemy will shift to a different line of operation, and it sure sounds like they did. It sounds like that they not only shifted a timeline, but they shifted lines of operation. And that's what the pause was over the last 24 hours. I mean, look, MSDNC and CNN are not going to change their rhetoric. The one hysterical thing that's come out of this is all the liberal meltdowns. And people are seeing graphically for the first time in probably 10 years that liberalism is a fucking virus. And these people are literally mentally fucking ill. Because I watched an exchange on CNN where the guy's like, yeah, this was over during the Afghanistan withdrawal, because Biden told America that the adults were going to come and they were going to take over and adults were going to run the show. And then that happened. And he never recovered. He stayed in the 40 percentile the rest of his time in office, which is true. He didn't recover from that. And then when you add the Green New Deal, all of the other, you know, policies that they wanted to jam down our throat for austerity, here you are. You're in a place where most Americans are fed up, and they showed out in force to show that they're fed up. And look, I'm not going to deny that more people showed up to vote than any other time in our history, because I believe that to be true. I think the bulk of the population is so sick of the DEI, woke, trans, you know, progressive agenda and the green agenda that they were like, I'm all in. Does that mean that everybody thought that both candidates were the best? No, not by a long shot. But you don't have a hell of a lot of choice when you have two parties and that's the only thing you have. And I was in the middle of writing an open letter to Trump today that I'm going to post on Twitter tomorrow. And it dawned on me that Americans want to see justice now. They don't want to see the backroom dope deals or the handshakes or the nods where certain people go to jail or not. And I think for the first time, I agree with Mike Flynn, because Mike Flynn was, he was, and this goes to what I was saying earlier about messaging from the right. Mike Flynn is going after Obama, and he did it on Twitter today. And more people are starting to come out about Obama. So clearly, if there was a deal made, Obama got thrown under the bus. And I hope for the public's sake, I hope for the country's sake, and for the world's sake, that Clapper, Hayden, Brennan, Obama, and the rest that were affiliated, Axelrod, all the rest of those assholes that were under Obama, are rounded up, taken to Gitmo, and their trials are publicly aired for the entire world to see. All their internal communications, all their emails, all their fake name Gmail accounts, all publicly displayed so people can see the true depth of the treason. Because that motherfucker is the true Manchurian candidate. And I would love to say, hey, I'm going to be the guy that escorts him, but there's a long line of guys like me that want to escort that motherfucker to Gitmo. And I don't want him to fall out of a helicopter. I don't want him to get low altitude descent therapy. I want him to stand trial. I want the world to see he's a traitor. I want them all to see justice. And I want Brennan to be on trial, the world to find out that guy's a fucking Muslim Brotherhood plant. And then I want to burn the whole fucking satanic temple to the ground. That's what I want to do with those motherfuckers. I've had enough of that. And I've had enough of people talking about what a great leader he was. Obama was a race-baiting, American-hating piece of shit. He's a petty, fucking gay piece of shit. He's always been gay. They covered for him. They lied about his citizenship. They put him in place, and everybody in Washington, D.C. knew that guy was a Manchurian candidate. So everybody that went along with it, all of those assholes go to Gitmo too. Everybody knew Obama was the Manchurian candidate. That's the part that gets under my skin. In fact, he's the reason I retired. He's exactly the reason I retired. I saw the handwriting on the wall. I watched him pick openly gay general officers that were biased. They were picking their favorites. They were not afraid to show it. It was a fucking mess, and it destroyed good order and discipline. I have nothing nice to say about any of the general officers that I worked with, especially under his command after he started picking GOs. And I would hope that Trump puts Doug McGregor as the SecDef, and Doug goes in and busts heads. Because I could tell you what I would do on day one. I'd take a fucking paint gun in there, and I would. I'm telling you, I would pepper every star I saw would get at least 20 rounds of paint. And then followed by a very, very quiet, you're fucking fired. Get the fuck out of here. And oh, by the way, I'm taking away your retirement. I'm reducing you in rank to fucking E4. And I'm dishonorably discharging you for dereliction of duty. Get out of my fucking sight. That's exactly what I would do. But, you know, I doubt it's going to happen, because if I'm hearing names like Pompeo and Marco Rubio and some of the other shitbags, especially Jared Kushner, nothing's going to happen. And Milley needs to go to prison for fucking treason. Like tomorrow. So, yeah. I'm not berating anything, Viking. I'm just saying I would demote them to E4 and take away all their rank. I would not allow them to retire as a GO with any benefits, especially these dipshits in charge now. I would bust all of them down to the lowest possible rank. In fact, I would probably just dishonorably discharge them. But anyway, I'm cautiously optimistic that Trump will make the right decision for the AG, for the SecDef, and for the DHS leadership. I'm pretty sure Mike Flynn is going to take over as the DNI. And they're going to roll the CIA into the DNI. He needs to disband the FBI, DHS, ATF, and make DNI responsible for all of the military intelligence agencies and just do away with the CIA. But it's not going to happen. No, fuck no. They're not getting no Section 8 discharge. Fuck that. They get a dishonorable discharge. That's how the game's going to be played. We're not giving them a mental out. We're going to discharge them for dereliction of duty. Anybody, any general officer, any colonel, any lieutenant colonel, any major, any captain that mandated their soldiers got the fucking vaccine goes to prison. Every single one of them. And there is no plea deals. You don't get to say, I didn't go along with it, or was a conscientious objector, or whatever you want to say. No, the guys that objected to it, they got out and had their careers burned. All the guys that were left that went along with it, gone, done. Your career is over. We'll see how that plays out. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think anything's going to happen. I do think they're going to throw Obama under the bus, because this is how the game's played. It's played very simply, and it's been played out time and time and time again. And this is how you know you're watching a movie. So when Biden gave his speech about transition, did you notice anything about the guy? Basically sprints out to the podium, speaks clearly, speaks fluently, speaks directly to the crowd, is coherent, says all the right words, and then skips back off. It's a movie. But in DC, accountability looks like this. They pick one guy. In this case, it's going to be Obama. And they make him the scapegoat for all the bad shit that's happened. And they point to the public and see, that's the guy. That's who did it all. Nobody else did it. He was the guy that masterminded it. He was the guy that executed it. He was the guy that coordinated it. And then they put him in prison. They die in prison like Timothy McVeigh. Problem solved. Nothing to see here, folks. But not this time. Because the American people know. They know who was behind this. Brennan, Flapper, Hayden, Eric Schmidt, Sergey Brin, and there's a host of other characters that are behind those guys. All of them are complicit in all of this. They all get rolled up, or we shut the country down. And I mean full stop. But unfortunately, I think that Trump's going to walk into a shitstorm and have to wade through the shit and clean out the gutters before he can even get to that. So first of all, they're installing people on the down ballot and taking the down ballot right now, just like I said they were going to do, especially here in Arizona. And they're going to stack just enough of a majority in the House and Senate so that they can disrupt and keep everything bogged down in the Senate. At the same time, they're going to cut off funding to all of these illegals they brought in, and the cities are going to blow up. And more importantly, the crime is going to blow up. And at some point, Trump's going to be forced to declare martial law. If you think about it, it's the perfect fucking scenario. It's brilliant, actually, because number one, they leave Trump in a situation where he has to deal with the domestic issues, these illegals, and then he has to deal with the war overseas. The war in Ukraine is lost. That's going to come to an end. The war in Israel is probably going to expand, and they're going to make sure of it before Trump comes to office. And if I read something right today, Blinken just pushed through amnesty for anybody that's in Qatar. So there's a bunch of former Hamas, Hezbollah operatives in Qatar that will be granted amnesty as well as U.S. citizenship and brought here. So they will avoid the mass deportations, but we will have terrorists on our soil. And if that's fucking true, and that actually happens, then fucking Blinken, day two, that motherfucker gets rolled up for treason. But you know why that won't happen? Because he's a dual citizen with Israel. So he'll get away with it and walk away scot-free. You see how the game's played? There's no situation here if the optics are right and all these things are true where the swamp's going to be drained. It's going to be four more years of executive orders, four more years of propaganda, four more years of increasing crime rates and protests and everything else. And the piece that I can't put together, and I think Catherine Austin Fitz did a good job of putting it together, is I think Catherine Austin Fitz's her premise is this, that the bankers put Trump in so they could continue with the social scoring system and the digital currency and the CBDC. But it'll be a federal CBDC, not a Fed Reserve CBDC, not the central bank CBDC. But who knows? And then Elon will be working on the brain implants, the chip implants, et cetera, et cetera. Let me just say this outright. I don't trust Musk at all. I didn't trust him when he started taking over Twitter. And now there's rumors he's taken over CNN. I didn't trust him when he took over, when he started SpaceX. I don't trust Peter Thiel at all. Palantir is used to identify terrorists or domestic terrorists. So I don't trust him, and I definitely don't trust J.D. Vance. I'm not one of those guys that's going to sit there and say, yeah, rah-rah team. You know, in fact, Wednesday morning, I wasn't celebrating. I was watching all the different rhetoric that was coming out of the regime. And there is one very true statement to what happened on Wednesday morning. And that is, the deep state handlers, the Atlantic Council, and all the other shitbags that are working to build the censorship machine and in the censorship industry realized that the mainstream media was completely dead. And I've been saying for a long time, the mainstream media was dead. They still have a lot of reach, but it's not the reach they thought they had. And that's the piece that they woke up to. They realized that they didn't have the same influence. And this goes back to what I said all the way back in 2020. They lost the cultural narrative, and they've been struggling ever since to get it back. And when they went down the route of transhumanism, child, you know, what they call minor attracted persons, trying to get the acceptance of pedophiles and cannibalism and all this other satanic shit, the entire planet went, go fuck yourselves. We are not going to put up with that. And Wednesday was a referendum of the entire planet, not just us, the entire planet saying, we're done with the satanic agenda. We're not doing it anymore. Countries like Canada, Australia, and the UK that are under the thumb of the fucking monarchy, they don't get a say. So they're still stuck with all the censorship and all the same bullshit that we had with Biden and all the progressives, and they're still stuck in that system. But that system is slowly starting to crumble now because the world watched the U.S. come together and say, this is what we want. That wasn't an election. That was a referendum on where we want the country to go. And overwhelmingly, two-thirds of the country, almost 80% of the country said, we want America to be what America is supposed to be, a country that's rooted in faith, has a moral compass, abides by the rule of law, abides by the Constitution, has checks and balances. And this time, motherfuckers, we want to see real justice. real justice, not this fake menagerie of dope deals by a bunch of elitist assholes. We want to see real fucking justice, where people stand trial in a public forum and then they're executed if they're traitors. That's what people want to see. They don't want to see a blood sport. They don't want to see children being sacrificed. They want to see fucking real justice. And they want to see people like Merrick Garland and Chris Wray and Rod Rosenstein held to account for weaponizing the DOJ and the FBI against American citizens. That's what they want to see. They don't want to see or hear any more bullshit about why people can't be prosecuted. And if Chris Wray's fucking head is not on a pike the first day of the administration, then everything that you saw is a fucking pipe dream. It's all a show. And I'm starting to lean that way because I hear all these names of these, like, if I see Bill Barr's name anywhere affiliated with this administration and anywhere other than an arrest warrant to go to Gitmo, I'm telling you, it'll be game on. I am not going to sit another 4 years and watch the swamp put in place more and more things that restrict or take away our freedom. But worse, I'm not going to sit and listen to Trump talk about warp speed or how fucking great he is if he's not going to do anything to solve the problems. And that includes the election. People want to see justice. And nothing else. Nothing else. Justice, including my Argus. I want to see that fucking pompous little shitbag sitting in prison in fucking Orange, wondering whose salad he's got to toss tonight. Shitbag. I don't want him to hang. I want him to spend the rest of his life in prison. I want him to be somebody's bitch. And I want everybody to know whose bitch he is. And I want to watch him paraded around like a bitch. That'll be the best justice ever, to watch all these people stripped of their power, their influence, their money, their assets, and their freedom. And then watch them implode in prison when they can't do anything or say anything. And I mean, completely cut off from the rest of the world. They don't see news. They don't see the sunshine. They don't even hear music. They sit in silence all day in a cell and just rot. That's what I want to see for these people that have committed treason. Because it's not just the green agenda that we're talking about here. We're talking about a group of people that were complicit with COVID. They've sold secrets to the Chinese. They've compromised our national security on a number of different levels. They've perpetuated wars and had American soldiers killed for no reason. These people need to have the harshest and most brutal punishment ever. And you know what that is? Being stuck in a room for the rest of their life with absolutely no communication to anyone else. Because the thing you realize is that even in prison, these people will still have reach. Like the Clintons, you can't assume that Clinton goes to prison and she's not going to be barraged with messaging from all of her, you know, sycophants. She's got a big group of people that still worship her. You can't take that for granted. You have to take away isolate every bit of communication they have so they can't coordinate with anybody. And you have to vet everybody in that prison so that none of the guards go native and start filtering messages out. It has to be that sanitized in order for them to pay the real price. And I don't see it coming, folks. I just don't. I see a few people going to jail, I see the sacrificial lamb of Obama, but that's it. I haven't heard Hayden's name. I haven't heard Brennan's name or Axelrod or anybody in Obama's orbit. And there's a host of them. And then the other thing Trump needs to do, which I haven't heard either, is he needs to end all public and private partnerships immediately. Now, he is talking about SESs, where he's going to sign an executive order where he could fire anybody in the government. And that absolutely needs to happen. He needs to fire every senior executive service member in office right now and start over and vet everybody going in there. And I think he is going to do that. And I hope Kash Patel becomes the AG, because he will go after people. And I've already, like I said, I've already been told I don't have a seat at the table. That's fine. You know, I was thinking about, somebody asked me about it last night. What would you do if you're, what position would you take? And I've been thinking about it. If I was going to do anything in the administration, there'd be two jobs I'd do. I'd either be the director of CISA and go bust heads there and really build a defensive perimeter around U.S. networks, or I'd be the Dernza, the director of the NSA. And I would go bust heads there and make sure that NSA was collecting good signals intelligence on all of our enemies. And I would refocus that entire fucking planet of stupid towards our enemies and locking down our networks. And then I would make a concerted effort to make sure that the agency supported all the different branches with whatever they needed. So the branches and every battlefield commander had as much intel as we could possibly give them, so that they could make battlefield decisions, and we would do true intelligence preparation of the battlefield. In fact, I would make it my life's mission to make sure every battlefield commander had at his or her fingertips all the information that the agency could provide on that AOR, no matter where they are in the world. And I would make sure that they have bulletproof fucking comms. I would make sure that all their comms were secure to the point where they could pick up a phone or a handset, and they know that NSA is doing their job. Know the net, know the threat. And I would beat that all the way down the chain. Of course, after I fired everybody that was, you know, retarded. But those are the two gigs I do. I think Doug McGregor is going to get the SecDef, and I think that's a good choice. If they put Pompeo as SecDef or Secretary of State, nah, all bets are off. But hey, you have to look at it for what it is, right? His convention was make Israel great again. So I don't hold out any illusion that some of the dual citizen shitbags are going to be back. If he hires Blinken, man, that's, all bets are definitely off. Then you know he made a deal. So we'll see how it plays out. I'm cautiously optimistic that the right people are going to be in the right positions. A couple of administrative notes. So I was going to play something else tonight, and John Denver was on when I was out in my shop earlier, and I'm like, that's a great song. Take Me Home. Yeah, great song. Perfect song for tonight. And the other thing too is, now's the time to buy the shirts. If you want to do the shirts, now's the time. Shirts, the hats, whatever. Because I think that's the other message we need to start sending, is that we really are one team, and we really are fighting one fight. And that's the restoration of our republic without the deep state, without the oligarchs, without the elite. And it hit me this morning when I was talking to O6 buddy of mine. He he was funny, called me up, and I literally just got on my first call this morning, and my phone rings. He goes, "You man, you're 3 for 3. You're 3 for 3. I didn't think they were going to steal the down ballot after Trump won, and they're doing exactly that. I didn't think they would use illegals in blue states, and they're doing exactly that. And I didn't think they would be smug about it, but they're smug about it." And he goes, "The funniest thing is, you said that Bob Ferguson up in Washington State would be literally focused on the Orange Man. And that's exactly what he is. They all have Trump derangement syndrome. It's easy to see, but it's funny hearing it from a guy who is, you know, he's full of giddy. He's always the optimist, right? He's always the optimist. Like, he was convinced that Trump was going to win. I was convinced we weren't even going to get there. And the interesting thing is that he is thinking the same thing I'm thinking. It's too quiet. And that there's too many oddities around this that don't add up. And my message is the same as Wednesday. Be ready for anything, folks. Don't stop your prepping. You can slow it down a little bit, but don't stop your prepping. Be ready for anything. I don't trust what I'm seeing. I don't like what I'm seeing. And I don't like the rhetoric I'm hearing. There are way too many variables here that just do not add up. And, you know, I thought Wednesday morning, and by the way, I should say this out loud. When Trump gets to office, and it looks like things are going in the right way, I am going to walk away from this and go live my life with a beautiful woman in a very, very remote place. If it looks like things are on track and we're going in the right way, that's my plan. And I'm going to go hang out with my kids and my family and enjoy life and probably still play with guns. So that's my plan if things go the right way. And I'm saying that because I'm hopeful that things will go the right way. I do think it's going to be a bumpy couple of months until we get to January 6th, but I think ultimately we'll get there. So, but be ready for anything. I mean, literally be ready for anything. You should still be rolling heavy. You should still be expecting something, because it really feels like something big is in the background that they're not telling us about. It really does. And, you know, when you play out the scenarios, and like I said, I don't have a hypothesis yet. And I'm still looking at it, right? But what I see is they want to put the American public back to sleep. And that's exactly what happened when Trump won. Like, nobody was paying attention to the down ballot until today. So 2 days go by, Arizona and 13 other states or 12 other states are still licking stamps, and nobody's paying attention to it. And here in Arizona, Gina Swoboda, the GOP leadership, and I heard from somebody in Carrie Lake's camp today that actually, I heard it from two people, that the GOP hasn't given any money to Carrie Lake to fight what's going on here in Arizona. Not $1. So Laura Trump hasn't done shit, and Gina Swoboda hasn't done shit. In fact, I don't know what the fuck Gina Swoboda does. I don't know what she does. She said nothing. She hasn't coordinated with anybody. She hasn't mobilized anybody. She's talked to all the elite. She went pandering to Karen Robeson, but what is she doing to help Carrie Lake? She's doing nothing. And she's the GOP leadership for the state of Arizona. What the fuck are you doing? Why aren't you mobilizing a fucking mountain of attorneys to go fight what's happening in the MTEC right now? Like, both candidates have more votes than the vice president got? Are you fucking kidding me? And you're doing nothing? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I thought Kelly Ward was bad because she was a useless piece of shit. Like, hey, they're stealing 22 election. I'll write a strongly worded letter. Well, that'll do the trick. Write a strongly worded letter to the people that are communists. That's going to work out. And now it's nothing. It's crickets. Absolute fucking crickets. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you not out in front of this with a mountain of people to go observe, cure ballots, look at the voter rolls, take out the duplicate? What are you doing? Crickets. Absolute crickets. Unbelievable. But it just goes to show that the country went right back to sleep as soon as Trump was anointed. As soon as they declared victory, everybody stopped paying attention. It's like 2 years ago when there was a Q post. The whole community just went right to the train wreck without even a second thought. Not even, hey, this could be bullshit. Nope. One post derailed everything for a week. And it was right during the week. I think it was like the week before. It was either the week before or the week of the primary in 22 is when it happened. Like, you don't think that's a coincidence? So I hope people stay awake. I hope people stay vigilant. I know this audience will stay vigilant, and I hope you do. I hope you pay attention to all your surroundings. You know who's supposed to be there. You know who's not supposed to be there. You're not afraid to ask those questions. But most importantly, keep your head on a swivel, because whatever's going to happen will happen fast if it does. And I hope it doesn't. I hope nothing happens. I hope it's just, you know, shock that Harris lost. I hope that Trump really does go in and do what he says he does with the right cabinet. And I hope that on January 6th, we get to January 6th uneventfully, and that Trump takes over and he starts doing the right things. I hope all that happens. But I have an overwhelming sense that my mission is not complete yet. So until then, we need to start wearing the garb every day. In fact, I just ordered like 4 more polos today and a couple of sweatshirts. So, yeah. And shout out to Chris. I'll give you a call, bro. I'm buried in stuff right now. So as soon as I get my head above water, I will call you back. Thanks, Daryl, for the very, very nice words. I really appreciate that. And most importantly, shout out to Vasilius for sending me all that information, bro. I appreciate that. And if you haven't seen Vasilius's log, I will put it out there. So it's a bit over my head, but it's interesting reading, good reading, and he's done a good job on his Substack. Let's see what else. A couple other administrative notes here. So I'll be back Monday with another situation report. Hopefully it'll be uneventful. I'm going to try and keep these between 30 and 45 minutes moving forward. The guys still want to do a roundtable, so my plan is to do roundtables as the situation dictates, as there's actual events. And then our focus is going to stay on preparedness, because I think there is something coming. I don't know if it's a natural disaster or what, but something's coming. So what I'm really worried about, to be honest with you, is I'm really worried about the illegal aliens, because the illegals represent almost 40 million, a lot of military age males. And these guys are not, they're not just posers. They're not patriots. These guys are real battle hard. And they've been trained in, you know, a bunch of different theaters, and they know how to fight. These are not just fly-by-night, you know, terrorists. These guys are real. So that's what I'm really worried about, and how they activate them and what they activate them to do. I'm not thinking about a Red Dawn moment. In fact, I'm not thinking Red Dawn moment. I'm thinking chaos in the cities is what I'm thinking. So it's going to be interesting. And it sure sounds like, you know, if they cut the vouchers in New York, which is significant, because the next thing to go is going to be all the free stuff they get, the free housing, the free money, the cards, et cetera. And Troop had an interesting analysis, like a third of them will go home because they'll be rich from all the money they made here back home. A third of them can't go home, so they're going to be the ones that cause a problem. And then a third of them will be escorted out. So it should be interesting. I think that was the three that he used, but I thought it was an interesting analogy, because, you know, they've created the perfect storm. They can leave Trump with a mountain of problems to wade through just on day one, so he can't do anything else because he's so inundated with that. They also left him with the scenario where he gets stuck declaring martial law for the elites, and he's the one that looks bad, and then Biden gets off scot-free. There is a host of scenarios they can go down to disrupt his cabinet and his first day. And don't think for one second that Obama and the Clintons and the Bushes aren't petty enough to do it. They don't care about us individually. They don't care. These people hate our country. Obama hates America. Let me say it again. This guy hates America. So does the Clintons. So do the Bushes. So do the McCains. It's all a show in front of the camera. But they've done everything they can do to discredit the country and to destroy the country. So anyway, yeah. Conrad was just texting me, telling me there's intel data that says hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans are being mobilized to come to America and go after MAGA supporters. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me either. They think we're a virus. That's what the elite think. And here's the other question for Trump, right? What's Trump going to do about Larry Fink and Vanguard and BlackRock? Because he's the guy that gave them control of U.S. assets. He's the one that did that with Mnuchin. He's the one that moved the Fed underneath the Treasury. So, like I say, the tell is going to be in who he picks for his cabinets. And if his seats are all rhinos or swamp creatures, then you have your answer. He made a fucking deal. So I'm going to be cautiously optimistic. I mean, cautiously optimistic. And you should be prepared. I think we do have a bit of a window before, you know, if something's going to happen, it's going to happen, but I don't think it's a big window. Sure doesn't seem like that. Because I can tell you, you know, in country, if you're going down a street and you see little kids and old people, you know you're pretty safe. But if you roll down a street and you see nothing but military age males or a few military age males, you know you're about to get fucked. And that sure is what it seems like. Seems like we got a few military age males milling around, and something's about to break loose. I'm sorry, I'm too cynical. I don't buy into the whole story that, you know, America overwhelmed the vote, especially when I see them stealing the down vote and stealing Senate and House seats. I mean, that's hard for me to believe that when I see that shit. It's hard for me to believe that Trump is real and Vance is real when I see Musk and Thiel in the background, but more importantly, I see guys like Pompeo sniffing around and I hear his name. The worst would be Bill Barr and bringing back the Keebler Elf. What was his name? Sessions? Bring back the Keebler, or even worse, the evil Keebler Elf comes back. So, you know, and he still hasn't named Bobby Kennedy as HHS. Have you noticed that? He hasn't named Bobby Kennedy to do anything yet. Or Tulsi Gabbard, which is the other one I'm expecting, right? And here's the other thing to pay attention to, folks. Everybody around him right now was a Democrat, with the exception of J.D. Vance. But he's not who he says he is. Vance is not even his real name. You're starting to see a picture? You can sure make a lot of assumptions there. And like I said, I'm too cynical to look at this and go, that's peculiar. But we'll see how it plays out. We'll see if it's real. We'll see if people are actually on the level. I tend not to believe, especially now, I don't believe it. I don't know why, but I don't believe it. And I would hope that all these guys have seen the light. So, but yeah, I mean, a lot of things can happen between now and January 6th. A lot of things can happen on January 6th. A lot of things can happen shortly after January 6th. So it'll be an interesting window regardless. And I'm tending to think that things will be fairly calm through January 6th, and then the real fun will start as soon as he takes office. But, you know, I could be surprised. I know they don't want him to take office, but I don't think Jamie Raskin realized that they were going to give away the House and the Senate. I think he thought he had some aces in the hole in the Senate, and clearly he was outmaneuvered, or at least it looks like he was outmaneuvered. We'll see. We'll see how the Senate races go, because that's going to be decisive for doing anything against Trump from a legislative or legal perspective. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen in Arizona. Because look, if I was Carrie Lake and they did this to me again, she spent 2 years bebopping back between Arizona and Mar-a-Lago. And part of what soured Arizona on Carrie Lake was the fact that she did bebop down to Mar-a-Lago, especially during the first few weeks after the 22 election was stolen. She kept going down to Mar-a-Lago. And then all of a sudden she's running for Senate. I mean, don't you think if Trump made a deal, that he would have made a deal that included Carrie Lake? But yet, if they steal yet another election from Carrie Lake, you can bet that Arizona this time is going to demand accountability, and they're going to demand an audit. And all of the limp dicks that are in the Arizona Senate and the Arizona House, I think you're going to be overruled this time, because this will go to the federal level and they'll tie it in to the federal election, and they will force you to do something. And by the way, if the AG is who I think it's going to be, and I still have a direct line to the AG, you could bet your ass I'm going to use it. You can bet your ass I'm going to call in that favor. And if that's what it takes to clean up Arizona, to bring the feds in to clean up Arizona, that's exactly what's going to happen, folks. Because Chris May is not going to arrest anybody. She's not going to try anybody. And she is definitely not going to throw anybody in prison for challenging an election. That is a big R right as an American. And if it takes bringing the feds in here to throw that bitch under the bus, you could bet I'll call in that favor in a red fucking second. It's just comical. Somebody said to me, Arizona politicians don't trust me. Good. Fuck them. They're all limp dicks. All of them, without exception. They had the chance to fix this in 2020, and they all fucking bent the knee. Fuck them. I'm at the point where if I see them again, if I don't spit on them, I'm going to laugh in their fucking faces. Because, look, accountability is coming. But if Americans stood up and said, we're done, now they're going to stand up and say, this is going to be fixed. And Florida is going to be the example. You know, DeSantis, to his credit, went in and cleaned up Florida. He cleaned up Dade County. And look at what happened in Dade County. You get an accurate vote. You get an accurate election, and everybody accepts the election. Americans don't care who wins or loses. What they care about is that the election's fair and that there's no cheating. And the left has gone completely off the fucking rails with the cheating. And California, Oregon, Washington, Michigan, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Massachusetts, every single one, that entire system needs to be completely overhauled, and it needs to go back to something that we're accountable. Like in Washington State, they have ballot drop boxes pretty much everywhere. Zero monitoring. Zero. You drop your ballot off, you don't know where the fuck it goes. And this year, they were so arrogant this year that they had red and blue boxes on the outside. Literally, you check the red box, it goes right into the trash. And you never know. Yep, your vote was counted. Go fuck yourself. That's how arrogant they are. That shit needs to die. That whole system needs to be burnt to the fucking ground. And people need to be, and look, the other thing I'm going to say is going to be unpopular, but I really don't give a fuck. You need to vote on the same day of the election. You need to show up. You need to show your ID, and you need to vote. And if you don't, your vote doesn't count. And I'm saying, on top of that, it should be illegal for you not to vote. If you have the right to vote, you should vote, right? And I didn't want to vote this time, let alone for either one of these two shrubs, because I don't care about the renter in the White House. I really, truly don't. I think that's just a position. It's just a figurehead. I think the last true president that made any kind of decisions in the White House was FDR. And he did it to get us into the war. But other than that, I don't think anybody since then has been worth a putt to piss in. Kennedy was hamstrung. Reagan was hamstrung. And the moment the person takes office, all the minions come in and all the handlers come in and direct them in the wrong direction. The special interests need to go away. All the fucking law firms need to go away in D.C. All the lawyers need to go away in D.C. And I don't want to hear another time that you have to be a lawyer to be a lawmaker. The problem with our laws is that lawyers wrote them. They're not in plain English. They're not in any sense that makes any kind of a sense, plain English, to the average person. They never have. And it's been that way since our founding. We need to get back to the place where we have simple laws that are easy to understand and everybody gets the memo. And then we have to have real deterrence. Like, you steal something, you lose your hand. You steal again, you lose your other hand. You rape a kid, you lose your junk. It should be very, very straightforward. But yet we've watered down the system because of all these bleeding heart morons that believe everything they're fed. And that's why we are where we are. So, like I said, it's going to be an interesting couple of months. But you can see how the system needs to be reformed. And I'm not sure it can be. In fact, I don't think it can be. I think the system has to be burned to the ground and we have to start over. There's just too many agencies, too many career politicians, too many career bureaucrats. They all need to go, every single one of them. And I don't think Trump can't do that in 4 years. It's going to take more like 12 or 15. And that is if we don't get into a world war with fucking Chinese, which, by the way, we're going to have to deal with them at some point. Because the Chinese want to own everything and they want to occupy everything. And at some point, Russia and India will have to deal with them too. So no matter which way we go, there is going to be some kind of upheaval. You know, I hope for our sake, and I'll end on this note. I hope for our sake and for the sake of the Republic that Trump puts in people that are truly patriots and truly understand selfless service and are willing to go the extra mile to clean up as much of the system as they can, as fast as they can. And I hope that we make it to January 6th and beyond with no issues. And I hope that during that time, the country actually realizes that this is the right thing. And I really hope that Trump keeps his mouth shut and doesn't say anything stupid. Because, you know, there is a lot of things that could go the right way. And I don't want to not look at that, because I think, you know, I think we all want that. But there's a lot of work to be done. And I, like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic. And I really do hope for the sake of the average American, especially for our kids, that this goes peacefully. They really do clean up and reform Washington to a point where it's functional again. And we get back to some kind of civility across our country. Because that would be more beneficial for our kids. But remember, we have to be a part of that process too. We have to be involved now. You can't just sit on your laurels anymore. You can't just take a step back now that Trump's won. You still have to be active. So let's see how the next 74 days go. Let's see how January 6th goes. And let's see what the call to action really is. Because there should be a call to action by Trump. And I know if there is a call to action, I will definitely get involved in some way, no matter where I am. Whether that's, you know, helping out with a board of supervisors, a city council, a school board, I don't care. I will serve in some way, shape, or form for the rest of my life to make sure the system is working the way it's supposed to. And I hope that that actually happens, but we all have to be a part of that now. And you are all the leaders in your communities, whether you like it or not. So you have to lead, follow, or get the fuck out of the way. So anyway, we'll see how it goes. And stay optimistic, because I'm optimistic that the right things are going to start happening. And I would hope that for our sake, there's no fireworks. Boring is a good thing. Quiet's a good thing in moderation, especially right now. And that's right. I hope Carrie Lake gets elected too. Not for the sake of Arizona, but for the sake of balance. Balance out. What's his nuts? See, he's so memorable. I can't remember him. What the fuck's his name? What's that shrub's name that was the astronaut that thinks he's all badass? His wife was shot. Gabby Gifford. What the fuck's his name? Can't remember his name. That's how memorable he is. That's how terrible I am. Yeah. Anyway, I'll be back Monday. If you haven't bought a t-shirt, do it now. Let's get the word out. Let's start changing the narrative to the fact that we're all in this together and that we all should be fighting for the same thing. Mark Kelly, thank you. Wasn't coming to me. He's so memorable, completely forgot his name. In fact, he's that guy in the room where you could have a two-hour conversation. You could hear his name 11 times and you always stop and go, what the fuck's your name again? Oh, that's right. Okay. And then 5 seconds later, you're like, what the fuck's your name again? He's that guy. God. Terrible. That's true, though. Anyway, I won't belabor this anymore. Have a good weekend, everyone. I'll be back on Monday. God bless. One team, one fight.